Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I was like, yo, playing Pat, right? He's like, yeah. So we talking. I was like, yo, what you doing here? He's like, yo, some artist, Kid Cudi. He's like, oh, shit. I was like, you work with him? He's like, yeah, I manage him. I'm his DJ. Da, da, da. I was like, aren't y'all signed to Fool's Gold? He's like, we did a 12-inch deal. I was like, oh, okay. So I got Pat's info. Then I saw Cudi perform. And I was like, holy shit. This is next level.
Yeah, check it out. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Yeah. Everybody tuning in, you invited. No matter what mood you in, get excited. Everybody love the music. Let me tell you how they do it. Whether writer or an agent, let me tell you how they made it. You are now talking to a silent giant. Wanna walk in their shoes, silent giants. Wanna study they move, silent giants. Wanna know what they do, silent giants. Silent giants, y'all.
Welcome to the Silent Giants Podcast, a podcast highlighting the superstars behind your favorite superstars in creative industries. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. To keep up with the latest on the show, be sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Silent Giants Podcast. To keep up with my life, music, and more, be sure to follow me as well on Instagram at Corey Cambridge. Today on the show, we have a very special guest, A&R Nigel Mack, the silent giant who signed music superstar Kid Cudi. In this episode, Nigel explains how he got his start as an A&R, how he signed Kid Cudi, and how he discovered and began to manage one of my favorite new artists, Drum. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to the man of the hour, the A&R, the manager, the silent giant, my friend, Nigel Mack.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's nice to have you on the show.
Oh, appreciate that.
Man, we're just already starting off with stories.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't gotten to the interview yet.
Stories. A lot of stories.
Stories on stories. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how did you first get into music?
Interesting. So I started out, this is back in Baltimore, like doing street promotion stuff. But even before that, I was kind of doing the artist thing, like producing, trying to rap. But it's like, it didn't work out.
Were you any good?
I think I was good. I think I had some bars.
Is it? What was your rap name?
No, I'll never say it. Everyone from Drum to Cudi, everybody's been trying to find this rap name.
I can't say it. I have a knack for research.
Everybody has tried to find it. It's the stuff is on YouTube too, which is funny.
Oh, I will definitely. I will find this. You best believe this is going to come up.
Man, everybody said that nobody's found it. If you find it, I'll give you props.
Okay.
So I was like, I got tired of dealing because I was in groups. I was in all this stuff. But then it got to a point, I was like, man, like me and my friend, we would have all these different managers, and I knew more than the managers. I would ask them questions they could never answer. I was like, all right, this isn't working for me. So then I got into street promotions, started doing street promotions in Baltimore, D.C., and, you know, just did that, and that's how it started.
How did the opportunity present itself for you to become a manager? What was the magic moment for you to say, I should not be rapping, and I should not be producing.
I'm going to tell you what happened. So I was doing street promotions, and at the time, there was a rapper named Tim Trees. He had a record called Bankroll, which is interesting because Tate Cobain's, he remixed it. The record he put out was the original of the record I'm talking about. So that record blew up. And then another record came called Whoa Now. So I'm like, yo. Every club I went to, they were playing it. It had the Jeffersons in the beginning, moving on up. It was crazy. So I went to a DJ I knew. He was playing in the club. I was like, yo, who's this? He's like, oh, this is B Rich. This is Walt. No, he didn't even say B. It was 80 Dimes. He's like, oh, this is 80 Dimes. Da, 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 da. I was like, all right, cool. So I knew the producer, Dookie Man, who was a club producer too. So me and Dookie connected. And I was like, yo, I love this record. So I just started sending it to all the DJs I knew. Da, 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 da. The record just exploded in Baltimore, and then it went to D.C., I sent it to Lonnie B and all them at VA.
Lonnie B.
Yeah, and then it just started moving, and then it was like the label started calling. And at this point, I knew nothing about record labels and All I knew was from doing street promotions. But I didn't know anything about deals and nothing. So I ended up being the manager, and we ended up getting a deal at Atlantic. So that was wild.
And what was that experience like getting that first deal?
It was scary, but it was amazing at the same time because I totally knew nothing. I was on pure instinct, but it was dope at the same time because we got to go to LA to record the album. It was crazy. I'm meeting all these people that I seen on TV. It was crazy. Or just being places you see in movies. It was like, wow, this is crazy. It was definitely one lesson I could take from it is, and I applied it to now, because one thing we did, which I applied to my career, the original record was raw. It was dope as shit. It was just like just the drum and it was some straight Baltimore shit. But then once we got to LA, the A&R was like, oh man, we should clean this up because now you're on a major label. We want to take this. And we agreed when in hindsight, we should have kept it the way it was because it was raw. And I've learned in my career, it's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's the what I take from that. If we never changed it, oh my God. It was so fucking raw.
So you re-recorded the record?
Nah, we agreed to let them produce it up. And it was crazy. They put banjos in. It was just bad.
Banjo says it all.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't even gotta hear it at all. But the original version was knocking. It was like crazy.
Did you fall in love with managing at this time? Were you like, man?
Nah, it was by default. I just ended up doing it. So I got up here like 2006 and didn't have any job, anything up here. I was just couch surfing, just trying to figure shit out. And then luckily what happened, I got a call from an A&R at Universal Motown, and Corey Roberts, who had reached out to me before about the Be Rich stuff. So me and him stayed in contact. So he hit me one day. He's like, yeah, you know, you're always bringing stuff in from the area. You know, anytime there's something moving, you're always on it. We have an A&R position open. Would you want to apply? Like, not apply, but interview for it. I was like, I ain't got shit going on. Why not? So I interviewed, came back for another interview, maybe 4 months after that.
But you were living in Atlanta? Or were you
living
in New York?
No, I was in New York at this point.
Okay.
I was couch surfing. Like, I ain't have no money, no nothing. I was straight. Just living off friends type shit, literally. And so I went to the interview and then came back again a couple months later. Then I came in for a third one. Then out the blue one day, I was just somewhere in Jersey. I get a call from HR. They're like, would you accept this position? I was like, what position? They're like, because I had totally forgot about it. It took so long. They was like, oh, A&R research at Motown. I was like, yeah. So I started March 2007.
Well, and so what was that feeling like getting your first like A&R job?
That shit was crazy. Because it was like, you guys think you spend your whole life trying to get in this business at whatever capacity. And you spend your whole life wanting to work and make a living out of it. You spend your whole life getting fucked over, getting screwed over, fucked up this, dealing with shady people. And finally you get inside. So it's like a weird feeling. It's just like, because I didn't come in, because most people come in labels from college internships or connections. I'm a dude from Maryland who got an A&R job. You know what I mean?
Couch it was surfing. Weird.
Couch surfer. That doesn't really happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I remember going to the first A&R meet and everyone looking at me like, who the fuck is this guy? Because I didn't have no connect. Nobody knew me. They were like, who? Who is this dude? How did he even get in here?
And so what was your experience like? What was your first day? Do you remember your first day?
Yeah.
Is it A&R?
Yeah. That shit was funny. Because my job was research. So I came in through the research department, which is basically, at the time, you would just watch what's going on online. And like if something popped up on radio, we would actually physically make calls to the local chain radio, not radio, but like record stores in the market. Like, yo, is so-and-so asking about so-and-so artists? And you would compile reports. It was like a whole thing. So, but just sitting in these meetings and seeing like how it really works, it's kind of bugged out. Especially when you have no experience. You know what I mean?
Were you nervous? Were you intimidated? Were you anxious?
I wasn't intimidated. I was nervous. Only time I got, I'm going to keep it a buck. The only time I got intimidated is when I first met Sylvia Rome. She was my boss. And she didn't hire me, but Andrew Kronfelder hired me. He was the GM.
Okay.
So I never met her till we had this one first official A&R. And I obviously knew who she was. So I'm sitting there like, whoa. That's when it hit me how real this shit was. I was like, oh, shit, that's Sylvia Rome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like bugging out. You know what I mean? Because she's no joke.
She's serious.
Yeah, Sylvia's no joke. So I was sitting there like, damn. I didn't want to say anything stupid or crazy. I didn't say anything. I was just there.
And also, too, what was, for a lot of folks here who probably listen to the show, they're just common music lovers. So they may not know what an A&R does. What was your day-to-day job as an A&R? Like, what is the life of an A&R like? What does an A&R do?
I mean, you pretty much, your main focus is to kind of comb through all. You're like the buffer between the record label and the artist community. And your job is to go out and find talent that makes sense to sign to the label, to be monetized, to make money.
Okay.
To make a profit. But you also, you got to really understand culture. You got to understand like what people like, what people don't like. It's like a balance. It's like you got to really have aptitude for music and people and culture to really be great at. You know what I mean? A lot of people do A&R sometimes, and they do it because they don't really respect the culture or know or into music. They just go by what's hot, so they just jump around. But the key is you got to really love music and just really have a general love for it.
And so you're wet behind the ears. You're this new A&R. What was the next step for you in your career?
Okay. So, 2008.
But who was the first artist you signed as an
A&R? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Yeah, you were here so fast. You know, the very first artist I signed, because I was doing research, I signed this. He was like a MySpace kid, like on some Disney shit. His name was Jimmy Roberts.
Okay.
Who's now popping in Nashville now. He's like a huge songwriter, but because he was on MySpace, his numbers were crazy. And I played it in a meeting and showed it. And they were like, oh, yeah, fly him in. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, okay. And they did the deal.
Wow. What was that feeling like signing an artist, like discovering an artist and signing an artist?
It was cool. It was cool. Because it's like, wow, I'm really doing this. But then the single deals I did... Pop It Off Boys, Crank That Batman.
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Them Getaway Boys, I'm a G. My favorite one was Jackie Chain Rolling.
Wow. So
Jackie Chain, you know what's dope about Jack? Jackie was on all the shit that's on now with the drugs and all. He was on that back then. And then I put Cudi on it. There was a remix featuring Cudi. I put Cudi. It was right around when we were doing the deal. I was like, yo. Because I was in studio with Cudi back. He was like, we were just talking about shit. And he was like, well, who else you work with? I was like, yo, Jackie Chan. He's like, yo, I love that song, that rolling joint. I was like, yeah. I was like, you want to fuck with it? He's like, yeah. And he just jumped on it.
Word. I can't feel the left side of my face. Stressful thoughts have been replaced with Henny and Coke and Jaeger, man. Jackie told me pump my brakes. I told him pass me something to pop. Told me not to smoke my weed. I should listen. Grabbing models by the arm. I told him to fuck with no man.
And so was Cudi one of your first early on signings?
Yeah, but that was the first official signing.
So how did that come about? Like,
all right, I'm gonna tell you, this is a wild story. Well, it's not wild. It's a fun story. So I was trying to sign Risley Kid's sister. She was on Fool's Gold.
Okay.
So I was meeting with Nick. Nick came through. He's playing me stuff, and I was like, "Yo, what's up with the Cudi dude?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, he's like, yeah, we just put out Day and Night." And we're going to put up the 12 inches and da, 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 da. I was like, all right, cool. So I'm thinking he signed the Fool's Gold, so I kind of just fall back for a minute. So fast forward like maybe like 6 to 8 months, I go to Fool's Gold CMJ showcase. So I get that because Kid Sister, this is so funny. Kid Sister was the headline. Opening up was Cudi and Kool Kid. So I'm there to see Cudi. I'm really there to see Kid Sister. I knew about Cool Kids. I fucked with it. And I knew about Cudi and I wanted to see him too, but I was really there to see that. So I see Pac there. I was like, because I knew Pac because he signed his kid from Baltimore too. I was like, yo, playing Pac, right? He's like, yeah, yeah. So we talking. I was like, yo, what you doing here? He's like, yo, some artist, Kid Cudi. He's like, oh, shit. I was like, you work with him? He's like, yeah, I manage some of his DJs. Da, da, da. I was like, aren't y'all signed to Fool's Gold? He's like, we did a 12-inch deal. I was like, oh, okay. So I got Pac's info. Then I saw Cudi perform. And I was like, holy shit. This is next level. Because you could see it then, like, it was going to be something different. So I just stayed in contact with him, stayed in contact. Then they started working on the mixtape, him and Emil and Pac. And it was just it took like a year and a half. Cause things, I think right when the mixtape dropped, that's when things got, that's when Cudi just excelled.
And then, what was the first time hearing Day and Night? You remember the first time hearing?
Yeah, I heard it on MySpace.
Damn, MySpace.
I first heard Cool Kids on MySpace. Everything was on MySpace. That's where it was, you know what I'm saying?
And so were you around during the process of making the mixtape?
Nah, I knew Pat, but I wasn't in the studio when they were making it. I was around when they were making it. I knew they were making it.
Okay.
And I was trying to do something then. It was hard, you know. So the remix blows up.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
The Crookers remix. Yeah, it's huge.
And that's when Motown's lights went. They were like, oh, well, let's figure it out. I was like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you about it for like a year, but all right. So that's when we just started really. That's when, you know.
The deal came about.
Yeah.
And so what was it like telling Cudi, like, hey, man, we want to sign you? Because did he have other offers at the time on the table?
Yo, you know what's ill about Cudi? And this is not even an exaggeration. Every single label on the planet, I'm talking every label, was in on it. Everybody. Because you got to remember, he was the first. Nobody was doing what Cudi was the paradigm shift to where we're at now. Nobody was doing what he was doing. It was uncharted territory. So when it blew up culturally and it blew up online, and then the remix reacted, people were like, what the fuck? He was touring the world with no deal. He was popping. So every label here, Europe, everybody was trying to do it.
And
so, it was very, yeah, it was super competitive.
Why do you think that he signed with you and not another?
You know what it was? Label? It's funny because Pat and Emil, we always joke about it. Because I was so junior, I didn't, my expense was like, expense card was mad low. I took, you know what, the first dinner I took, it wasn't even cafeteria. What's the spot in Union Square?
Restaurant?
Yeah, the restaurant. It's it's like cafeteria. It's like a diner.
Oh, wait. Coffee shop.
Coffee shop.
Coffee shop.
I took them to the coffee shop. They always give me shit over there. They're like, yo, people was taking us on like crazy dinners and you take us to coffee shop.
They get you like a burger, a diner burger.
Right. Because that's all I could.
And also, the service there is terrible. They hire like models.
Right, exactly.
Service is trash.
Nah, but it was relationships, and I was, because they all knew, Pat, Cudi, and Emil knew I really care and I really want to see this through. And I understood where Cudi represented and how real it was. You know what I mean? And they took a risk on me because I didn't have anything. I didn't have any big artists behind my name. I was like this junior A&R guy.
Wow.
You know?
And so what was it like? Were you in the room when they signed the contract? Are you, as an A&R, are you there when they signed the contract?
It depends. Sometimes you are, sometimes you aren't. When he signed it, I'm trying to remember if I, was I in the room? I was, when we got the word they accepted the offer, I was with Sylvia. That was like around, I remember it was like November, because it was about to hit December. Yeah, so it was around that time. I don't think I was, because he signed at his lawyer's office, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what is the role, once an artist is signed to the label, mm-hmm. so Cudi's now signed, and what is the role that you take on with him post-signing?
You're like, the A&R is like the in, you're like the in-between.
So are you deciding like what songs go on the record or on the album?
That's all the artist's decision.
That's all the artist's decision.
You kind of, the role of A&R, you help them put the whole thing together.
Okay.
You know. Okay. You have different types of artists, though. You have some artists where you have to put their records together. You have to bring in writers, and you have to do. I don't work with artists like that.
Okay.
I know my strengths and my weaknesses. Like, the best artists for me are ones who have a vision and know what they want, and I help them put it together.
Gotcha. And so how did
the dope thing about Cudi, yo, it was ill because, like, we first did our first session. He had all the shit mapped out. It was wild to watch because he's like, yo, we're going to do Man on the Moon 1 and going to do Man on the Moon 2 and this is what it's going to be and we're going to do the narrative. I was like, damn. I mean, he had it literally. It was all mapped out.
And what was it like seeing an artist, like Cudi, just become the biggest thing in music?
It was surreal because when you're making the records, we knew it was special, but we didn't know it was going to hit like that. Like, it was like, whoa. I was like. But watching it, like being there while it was being made and being in the studio, yeah, it was dope.
Man, and so how did that signing change your career after
it changed it. It changed everything because everyone associates me with Cudi, you know what I mean? So all the artists after be like, oh, you know what I mean? So, and that's the beauty of A&R. You always are associated with what you sign.
Okay.
If you signed a lot of corny shit,
you're attached to corny shit.
You signed some dope shit, you're dope.
Wow.
That's why someone like hip hop is a legend. Because come on, it's hip hop. Look what he's done. Kanye, Jay. Like,
huge. Megastars.
And hip hop's cool as fuck. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, someone like that, you're like, oh, okay. I'm cool. I would do a deal with because he knows his shit. And that's what. That's what you, as an A&R, your whole career is based upon.
What is it about you that allows you to discover new talent? Because you obviously have a modest touch.
Nah, you know what it is? I wouldn't even call it a mindset. I just love music. And I gravitate to artists who I feel like have something special in them who could really, it's hard to describe. Like certain people, you could just see it in them, like, or you could hear it. Like, yo, this is going to be. This is different.
And so, how did it come into be that you were introduced to drum?
All right. So, I leave Universal 2014. I was there for like 7 years. I was like, all right, so let me figure something else out. So, I got into management. So, I started working with this group from Virginia, Sonny and Gabe. Super dope. Sonny and Gabe are like next level. So one day I'm chilling. Gabe hits me. He's like, "Yo, I'm working with this dude. I think you should hear it. I'm doing his mixtape, One Epic Summer. He's ill. He can sing. He can rap." Da, da, da. I was like, "All right, cool. Send me the mixtape." He sent me the mixtape. I was fucked up. I was like, "Whoa." I heard Cha Cha on it, and I was like, "Nah, Cha Cha's dope. It's cool." But when I heard Money, I was like, "Yo, get him on the phone, please."
Woke up this morning like I'm finna make a million, 20,000 at the pavilion, and they screaming for me. I dream for the feeling. Can you feel it? I just left from Gabriel's, making music on my way to Katie Ghost. We be cooling like.
So he got drum on the phone, and we started talking. And then at the same time, a part of Toon Day had reached out. I didn't even know Toon Day reached out. Toon Day reached out because he had heard him. So we all connected, you know what I mean? So I started working with him, like, yeah, me and Tunde started working with him, like, 2014. And it was dope because it's a real artist development story, and it's a story of a real artist that, like, started from zero to, like, now, look where he's at now, you know what I mean? And then when I first, and then when I met Jerom, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to work. He's a star. He's gonna work.
Yeah. What was the first time meeting Drum like?
He came up with Sonny and Gabe. Well, it's funny. The first time he had, it's funny. He told me so. The first time I actually did meet him, I didn't know who he was. I met with Sonny. Sonny and Gabe came up to New York, and Drum was with them. But the second time I actually met him as Drum, he came up with his cousin Mass, and I think Gabe came up, and we were all just at my crib. And then I set up some stuff for CMJ. He did his first New York show. So when I seen him perform, I was like, oh, and that was my first time seeing Sonny and Gabe perform too. I was like, oh, this shit is going to, this VA, this is the next wave. This is like the next, they're taking the, they hold the torch from what, from Pharrell, Timbaland, Eclipse. This is the next wave, and it is.
Virginia has this beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because it's in between
exactly.
the South
yeah.
and New York.
Right.
So there's like the lyrical ability and like right. the skills mm-hmm. as an MC, but also like a soulful element as well.
Yeah.
To where it's pop, yeah. but it can cross over, but it's still urban. Mm-hmm. I mean, very similar to Pharrell and very similar to Timbaland. A lot of cats from Virginia Beach, Hampton yeah. Roads area, you know, mm-hmm. Newport News, shout out. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, what is the process when you have an artist that you see potential in? What are the first steps you take as a manager to get that artist to kind of take off?
You just got to put a plan together. You got to, you assess it like, okay, let's figure out, well, what's the next steps? We're going to put an EP out. We're going to put a project out. You get all the content together. You're like, okay, we're going to shoot some visuals. You get the visuals together and you formulate a plan.
Okay. Okay.
I always got to work with a plan. I can't just freestyle. Like, you got to have some type. Even if something doesn't look, when things look organic, trust me, there's a plan behind it. You got to have content and all. You got to roll it out, and it's the whole thing.
And do you enjoy being more of an executive or more of an A&R?
I enjoy the A&R executive side
more of a manager more.
They're both cool, but I'm more of a creative, so I guess I lean more towards the A&R side.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
I guess what makes a great manager is like, just have to be organized and focused and have a plan and just know and really know what you're doing. There's really no exact answer to that. You just have to be on point, I guess. Yeah, you can't be with the artist getting lit and off the shits. You got to be, somebody got to be focused.
Is there a manager that you look up to that you think that you've met, you were like, yo, I like moving like this guy. I like the way he moves. Or, Was there ever a mentor that you had in the industry? It kind of seemed like you kind of stumbled into.
Yeah, I never had a mentor. I wish I did. I never had a mentor.
You are now currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you now currently, sir?
Well, I'm back at Republic, VP of Urban A&R.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's dope. So, you know, working with Cudi again, about to sign some new stuff, helping out with some of the stuff on the label. So it's dope.
And what mistakes have you seen artists make?
Ooh. Well, the biggest mistake I've seen artists make is forgetting. Okay, I'll give you an example. Like, I've seen artists make the mistake of, before a deal or before you pop off, whatever, I see a lot of artists make a mistake. As soon as they get a deal, they switch up. I'm like, yo, stay. When you get a deal, you don't change. You expand on what you already are doing, just make it bigger. You don't do a 360 and be like, now you have a budget. Oh, I'm going to go work with this person. I think people change their sound up too fast sometimes. I've seen that. And I've seen people, like, you got to also make sure your management is good. Don't just have anybody manage you. Like,
okay. Is it good for a manager to be a person that you kind of have grown up with, or is it better to have like an external manager that?
If it's someone you grew up with, that's cool. As long as they're organized and focused, that's fine.
Okay.
But I think the smart thing to do, if you don't have experience, partner up with a more experienced manager.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Are there like management agencies? Like, how would an artist, how would a new artist find a new manager?
That's the weird part. It's like finding a booking agent. It just, people find, I always tell people, people find you. If you, I mean, as corny as that sounds, that's the reality.
Okay.
You know, you can't really, to go out looking for a manager is kind of like, I don't know. Most managers, like, they find artists.
Okay.
Like, you know, they're more on it than a label. You know what I mean?
And as far as like signing talent goes, is it more based on the potential of an artist, or is it more based on this artist already has traction and already has a following?
It depends. It's a little bit of all that. It could be if they have traction, then you might do a deal based on that. But for me, it's more so about like potential.
Okay.
Because if you, because the traction, you'll get traction if you're really dope anyway. You know what I mean? Well, let me take that back.
Yeah.
Let me take that back. Because a lot of whack shit gets traction. No, but what I'm saying is the real things kind of like, they may not be immediate in your face. Because a lot of times, whack stuff is in your face. You see it and you're just like, oh, okay, that looks big, but it's really not big. Whereas something that's real may be a slow build.
Okay.
I like to watch the slow build. I like the slow build better than the immediate.
Well, the slow build is going to be sustainable.
Exactly.
Like, I always say this about Jay-Z, why Jay-Z is my favorite rapper, mm-hmm. and why Jay-Z's managed to be successful, mm-hmm. is Jay-Z never owned a moment in time.
Damn, that's real.
He never owned a moment.
That's
There was never a period when the Biggie era,
mm-hmm.
in New York, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bad Boy era in New York, mm-hmm. with Puffy, Mace,
mm-hmm.
he was never the hot rapper in New York, right? Then you get to like the late 2000s, right? Mm-hmm. So now Biggie's gone and Pac's gone. And now you have Ja scorching. Mm-hmm. You got Nelly scorching. Jay's just around. Jay hovers around that 3 million, hit you with 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? While Ja's and 50.
And DMX.
Hitting 7. 10, DMX 8 on. Mil on fire, scorching. Bro. Then you fast forward to like the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Ye was scorching. Damn. Eminem was scorching.
I didn't even break down.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Jay just always manages to be relevant,
mm-hmm.
and just keep that slow burn going. And even Jay's to this day.
Best. Jay's the best.
He knows how to move in a room.
He does. He's a genius.
Nigel, man, well, I think personally from viewing you, you have a good... I feel like the manager is kind of like the bass player in a band.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have bass player vibes. You know what I mean? The bass player is always the guy.
Uh-huh.
Laid back,
chill,
cool,
uh-huh.
organized. Type of guy to go home to his wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Likes the rock star life, but still has like a successful marriage. You know, but I think that's kind of what is what makes you a special manager.
For me, too, you know what it is? It's a deeper thing because I really care about music and I care about artists. And I really care about the rich history of black music. And that's what really drives me. You know what I mean? Because I really care about where we're going and where it's been, you know?
Well, Nigel, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
You are that dude. Yeah. You are a true silent giant. It's such an honor having you here.
Oh, thanks for having
me. I got shot down the first time. Nah, man, I don't talk. Yeah. I don't speak. So to have you on the show is an extreme honor, Nigel. Very grateful to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks.
You that dude.
What
up? So next time.
Next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.